This is Shutters Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode 356 of Shutters Inc. This is Bruce Williams from ShuttersIncPodcast.com, and joining me from Melbourne once again from creativephotoworkshops.com.au, Mr. Glyn Lavender. How are you?
Hi.
You sound about the way I feel, mate.
You told me to sound enthused.
Yes.
You said, let's make this high energy.
Yeah. Yeah.
High.
I think that's about as high as it's going to get.
G'day, mate. Hello, everybody.
How are you?
You know, I'm all right.
That's good.
Yeah, that's sort good. Of.
How's your week been?
It's been varied.
Okay.
My family health hasn't improved any.
Oh,
my dad's still in hospital. My mum's still a problem. And to add to the woes, my daughter came back from camp sick, so she's been home 2 days.
Oh, jeez.
So it's just like...
And what about your charming brother?
I haven't spoken a word to him all week, so it's been great.
Right.
That's what we call the status quo.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know if he's run over like three people in the case. The only person I know has run over three people.
In the last week?
No,
or just in the course of his life?
And he's had so many car crashes. He once used to be a truck driver until they banned him because he backed a truck into a power pole.
Oh.
And the power pole fell over onto a police station. Of all the people you're going to hit, that's not the one you want to choose.
No.
But one of the people he ran over, so this is, he used to be a taxi driver, my brother, and he came over this hill one day. There's this guy sitting in the middle of the road. And this guy was having an argument with his girlfriend.
Right.
And it was... if you don't agree with me, I'm not getting off this road until you agree with me.
Right.
My brother came over the hill and she won the argument. interesting character.
Yeah.
So you haven't spoken to him. So in a great week as far as that's concerned. But I've been pretty busy. We finally got our Cuba tour open for bookings.
Lovely.
And we finally got our Africa tour open for bookings.
Beautiful.
Which is great. So there's two things that are big jobs that we don't have to worry about.
Which part of Africa?
The good bit.
Namibia?
No, Namibia.
The other good bit.
This is an East Africa tour.
Right.
And so it's Kenya and Tanzania.
Nice.
And then I've got an optional extension tour at the end of it to Zanzibar.
Right.
The island of Zanzibar. So, yeah, because we're going to Africa, obviously, for the animals,
yep.
For the wildebeest migration.
Yep.
And we're going to visit the Maasai warriors and so on. So, yeah, and some other little villages here and there, some fishing villages, that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But predominantly not really people shooting.
Right.
So you know, it's not really my strength, obviously. But obviously I can do it all. It's going to be great fun. It's going to be fabulous. It's going to be amazing and you should come with us. not you. Them.
I would love to, but I've got 5 weeks in. I've got 5 weeks in Europe, so
perfect.
Yeah,
not. I will say though, disappointingly for you,
there's
less wildebeest there.
Yes, considerably so.
If you're going there for the European migration, you might be set. Yeah, you might need a little bit more time than that.
Right.
Wait. Right. We're not going to be happening as much. So I've put on this extension tour to Zanzibar, I've been working with these locals, and I've organised a trip out to this little coastal village to photograph the elders on this coastal village, and they're seaweed farmers,
right?
The main thing. So we go out into the water and photograph them harvesting seaweed for one thing, but also we're going to go into their homes and do portraits of them in their houses.
Okay.
Which should be of the elders of the village, and also visit one of the schools, which should be good.
Nice.
One of the herbal medicine guys, photograph them.
Yeah.
So there's some good opportunities there.
This is all in Zanzibar?
All in Zanzibar. And then in the main sort of touristy town attraction in Zanzibar is a place called Stone Town, which is the old part of the main Zanzibarian town.
Right.
Yeah, and that's sort of a cross between Arab, Asian and African influences of architecture and buildings and cultural crossovers and stuff. So nice. You've got these amazing like, Moroccan streets to go along with it, ornately carved doors and Muslim hooded women and just a melting pot of culture and people.
Wow.
We're doing some street photography walks through there. And I've also, once again, organized, I'm working on organizing the guide at the moment to find some people who can go into their houses in the town itself and meet some of the elders and try and photograph them.
Nice.
So that's so we're kind of adding a bit of a people element to the end of the animal tour.
Yeah, right. And what time of the year are you headed?
That's August next year.
Nice.
So for those who want to save up and come along, I've been watching a lot of videos this week on the African wildebeest. By a lot, I mean one.
Yeah.
By watching one, I mean I watched half.
Right.
Maybe a third, but I've watched some. I've been investing time, and constantly blown away as always with these wildlife documentaries. Is the camera work?
Oh yeah.
I want to see, just to make me feel better as a human being and an artistic person, I want to see the blooper reels. I want to see the footage where they set a camera up for like 3 weeks and nothing happened. That camera, you know, or an amazing thing happened 2 feet to the left of the camera and they caught like a tail wobbling or something.
Yeah. You
know, I want to see the stuff. They've got one bit of footage of this hyena eating a carcass of an animal, right?
Yeah.
And the camera's in the carcass.
What?
It's looking down. The camera's looking out through the rib cage of this thing.
Wow.
It's like, come on. You're killing me here, you know? it's just phenomenal, incredible footage that these guys.
There was a video that, for some reason, seemed to go viral in the last couple of days, which was a snippet from a David Attenborough BBC doco of
with the lizard and the
baby iguana and the coral snakes.
It's not a beach I want to go to anytime soon.
No, but some of the camera work in that was just amazing.
Just remarkable. It's remarkable. And how they can know where this thing's going to run. And
yeah,
it's like, is this a robot iguana? I mean, what the hell? Is that why the snakes didn't want to eat it? It's like, it's phenomenal. And you see that stuff over and over and over again. Yeah. But did you mention Namibia before?
I did.
Okay, so we're going to Namibia. It's a 2018 tour we're doing to there.
Right.
So we're in the midst of prepping for that at the moment as well.
Nice.
So I've been watching some videos on some of the areas. And once again, it's just like some of the footage. You look at some of the moving footage, you go, I would just kill for one frame. Just once, not 25 frames across this whole 3 or 4 minutes of phenomenal footage. Give me 1/1000th of a second of that, I'd be happy. It's we hate people with talent on this podcast. We're not fans. But you see this and you go, you know, for just one frame of that.
Yeah.
You've heard of Coleman-Skop?
Yes.
The old mining town. So we're going to that, right? Nice. This old mining town. If people don't know.
Because I know Malcolm's been there a couple of times.
Yeah. But I'm watching this video and just some of the footage in this video is every shot's a winner. You know? It's just beautiful framing, beautiful light, beautiful colours.
Yeah.
And you know, you'd settle for that. And this is, yeah, and I see this all the time in movies and stuff. You know, we'd love just one frame of that.
Yeah.
And these documentary guys do hours of this stuff that's just so damn good.
Yeah.
It's just disgusting.
Look, Attenborough and his crew have just spoiled it for everybody. Those guys have been knocking it out of the park for 30 plus years.
Just disgraceful. Getting better and better all the damn time.
Yeah.
Oh, just disgraceful. So Africa's open, Cuba's open, and we're just about to finalise in the next week or two our India tour for the Pushkar Camel Fair for next year.
Nice.
So there's some interesting things if people want to come along. Or 2018 is at the very least Namibia.
Yep.
Possibly Ethiopia if we can get ourselves organised.
Wow, they're at opposite ends of the country.
They are, I know. But I'm working on one other thing for next year, funnily enough. I'm not sure if this is going to come off or not,
right.
But with my friend Singh from Western Australia.
Is this what you were telling us about last week?
What was I talking about?
The Australian Aboriginal gathering that happens once every 2 years?
Yes. Yeah, so I'm working on the Aboriginal Dance Festival still. It's just a bit of a logistical nightmare because it's hard to bring a group in when there's nowhere to camp. There's no accommodation, so you got to bring your own accommodation.
And where did you say that was?
Where?
Yeah.
A place called Laura.
L-A-U-R-A?
That'd be the one.
That'd be it? Oh my goodness. That is a long way up.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's up there. And but I just suggest if you're going to type Laura Aboriginal paintings.
Right. I'm on Google Maps. So for those who are interested, it's just maybe an hour inland from Cooktown. So you're a long way up.
Yeah. I mean, we're talking about Cooktown's the last actual town.
Yeah.
But if you go to Google and just type Laura Aboriginal paintings, look at the cave paintings up there. They are phenomenal. Yeah, it's just some remarkable stuff to go and visit.
Oh wow! Yeah, nice. Yeah,
it's some full on, and they're everywhere apparently. These things are everywhere. So yeah, it's a cool thing. It's just a bit of a logistical nightmare, but hopefully it's something we can pull off for the end of June next year.
Yeah, so presumably you'd all fly into Cairns and then hire a bus or something from there.
Yeah, yeah, and then take on the services of like one of these people who do outback tours who provide all the camps and all the. So it's going to increase the cost, but if you could employ a group to take you in, they'd drive you in, they'd set up all the tents, they'd do all the cooking, all the preparation of food and stuff, and all you have to worry about is going to shoot.
Yep.
That will give you some great opportunities So stay tuned for that one. It's going to be interesting, hopefully.
Yeah.
And one other thing, because I'm off to Myanmar in 2 weeks.
Yep.
And I'm just trying to delve more into the culture before I go and try and get a little bit more of an understanding of the place because I haven't been there before.
Yeah.
And so at the end of when everyone goes home, Malcolm and I are going on this extension tour. Our local guide wants to take us to see this other area that's going to develop into a tourist area sometime down the track.
Right.
At the moment, they have about 100 people a week go to the area.
Right.
So it's quite a big area. So because it takes about a day and a half to get there.
Right.
Which, of course, for most tourist people, that's not, they want to commit 3 days just in travel just to go to one zone, one area.
Yeah.
But we'll do that. But I found out in my research this week that just 4 years ago, Myanmar was the second most isolated country in the world.
Wow.
Yeah, behind only North Korea.
Wow.
Yeah, which really, really surprised me.
I did know that they had only recently sort of opened their borders to tourism.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, they've had a lot of a lot of issues with the military government holding very strict control over the country, and there's been some racial tension. The area we're going to, it was up and down for a little while there, whether we'd actually be able to get in because there's been some restiveness, shall we say.
Right.
But it seems to have settled down. It's only a couple of weeks ago in October, but it seems to have settled down for the moment, so we're still planning on going in. But that's the kind of places you want to go to,
To give you an idea of how new it is to tourism,
there's
no Google Street View anywhere.
No, well, there's no internet.
I could not
load it, so I drove around. There's very little internet.
Yeah.
Certainly in the outlying regions, the non-touristy areas, of which is a lot.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so where we're going, we have to fly, for the extension tour, we have to fly into this remote small town and then take a boat upriver for 6 or 7 hours.
Wow.
Because there's no roads into this area.
Wow.
Oh, there might be a few dirt tracks, but not really passable It's a 24-hour car trip or a 7-hour boat trip.
Wow.
I think I know which I'd rather take.
Take the boat trip.
yeah. I'm thinking, especially since the 24 hours means going over all these mountains that I'm not that keen on going over.
Right.
But, yeah, so that's going to be hopefully we get some remarkable shots out of that. And with luck, in a few years' time, this area is going to open up a little bit more and, we'll have some great images to take people into.
Yeah.
We don't want to take people in now, obviously, because it's not dangerous, but it's not. Not dangerous.
It's obviously not set up for tourism yet.
Yeah, well, I mean, once again, things like we need a certain, when we take people in, you need a certain level of accommodation.
Yeah.
You need a certain level of food hygiene.
Yep.
a certain level of transportation.
Yep.
Sort of thing. So yeah, that's kind of important.
Right.
So at the moment, the main town that we're going to, the roads are still dirt. They don't even have the asphalted roads. So so yeah, it's not yet ready for.
You know how when you see a bottle of chili sauce, it has the number of chilies on it to denote how hot it is. Maybe you need for all your tours a guide with a number of showers. Like this is a one shower tour. This is two shower tour.
we'd love to take. So we're umming and ahhing. There's this other tour that we're thinking about for Myanmar. By the way, folks, if you're listening, why are we waffling on so much? We've got so little to talk about tonight.
Well, we've got stuff to talk about, but I'm interested in hearing about this.
Well, one of the things we're looking at doing is an exploratory tour from the northern part of Myanmar down a river system.
Wow.
Staying on the boat the whole time and pulling into remote villages as we go down the river.
Wow.
Now, don't anyone's ever done this.
Right.
Yeah. Or nothing. That's something not commercial. There might have been the odd traveller doing it, but not. I mean, Myanmar has 135 recognised different ethnic groups.
What?
Yeah.
In the one country.
In the one country, 135 native ethnic groups. Not like Australia, where we've got people from Greece and it's 135 recognised groups. So there's lots of little tribal areas and lots of very different cultures throughout the entire country.
Yeah, right. Still, it is a very big country. I mean, it's about the size of Queensland.
Yeah, it's a decent size. Yeah. 55 million people.
Wow.
Isn't it? So it's a decent number of folk. But imagine if we could take this boat trip down this river, staying on the boat the whole time, and then the freedom to explore.
Yeah.
And once again, maybe capture some images that are pretty darn interesting and exceptional.
And would be fairly unique.
Well, there's no such thing as fairly unique, dude.
Okay. As you said, although there may not have been organised tours, there will have been other travellers who've been there.
Exactly. Other travellers who have been there.
There are other people who have shot the area, but probably not to the same level of competency.
Well, I don't know about that. It's me, Malcolm's doing it. but it's this sort of adventure tour, take it as it comes, we'd like to put on.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Something like that. Let's come and explore and have an actual adventure photography tour where we don't know what's going to happen. We can't guarantee. Like we've sold this Myanmar tour, and we guarantee you we're going to get some images that are going to be mind-blowing.
Yeah.
On this tour. Because we can set them up.
Yeah.
You know, so that's we know what's there. We know what's involved in getting access to some of these things, and we know what's possible for us to set up. So we're guaranteed some phenomenal images from this trip, and that's going to give people incentive to want to come along because they know they're going to capture once-in-a-lifetime images.
Yeah.
Unless they come back with us again, they'll do it twice in a lifetime. But something like this trip, well, you don't know what you're going to get.
Yeah.
You might get just phenomenal shots day after day, or nothing for 5 days, and then who knows, some amazing stuff.
Yep.
But knowing what this country is like and knowing what the unexplored stuff that's around, I can't help but think we would just get some remarkable people photography shots.
Yeah, right.
As well as some incredible, there's ruins just everywhere in this country. I mean, pagoda ruins, yeah.
Oh, really?
Well, Bagan, where like one of the most touristy areas, I think there's 2,000 pagodas and temples in this one little area,
right?
Like on this one plane. So in any viewpoint of your camera at any one time, you've probably got 50 or 60 or 80 or 100 temples.
Wow.
Or more, in one framework. I'm going to try and say it. I'm still working on my pronunciation in Burmese. Merau.
Right.
The area we're going to afterwards, Merau.
Yeah.
An abandoned ruined city of from about the 1500s sort of era.
Wow.
This is to rival Angkor Wat and stuff as far as historical significance and size. And well, size, it's far bigger than Angkor Wat. But once again, there's 700 or 800 pagodas in this area and temples.
Wow.
The majority are just these abandoned, but there's quite a lot of them still in use, by the locals.
Yeah, right.
So it's got this uncharted feel to it, which is joyful. So who knows what you're going to see in this river cruise.
Yeah.
that, that you could just come across stuff. Yeah, imagine going around a corner and seeing this ruin covered in vines and trees that no one's ever photographed before.
That would be
And you get the chance
awesome.
To pull over and do it, you know, and have the luxury of the trip. Well, you know, you've got 10 days or 14 days to do this boat trip that's, say, a five-day boat trip. So you've got all this time to stop and shoot and explore and meet the people and hang out with the people and stuff. Yeah, it's a so that's something that I think we'll put on 2018.
Yeah, nice.
But it's going to be an adventure photo tour as opposed to just a more civilized photo tour.
Awesome.
So it's good. Yeah, so that's going to be pretty cool. So if anyone's interested in that sort of stuff, they could hang out. So that's kind of been my week. I've been busy sort of. Yeah, exploring and reading and trying to have some semblance of knowing what I'm doing when I get there.
Yeah, nice.
So, and yourself, have you done anything photographically?
No, I will be tomorrow night.
Really? What you doing?
Max's cadet unit. One of the.
Am I sorry I asked already? Because it sounds boring.
Maybe one of the adults who takes part in running it is leaving after many years, and they've organised some. Yeah, allegedly they've organised that they're going to deliberately muck up the drill, which I'm kind of a little bit dubious about, but anyway, as are some of the other organisers, but I was asked if I could video it. So
really?
I said, yeah, okay, fine, I'll have a crack at it.
What's the intention behind mucking up the drill? What's the...
I don't know. They obviously the kids think that that's going to be hilarious. I'm not sure that the outgoing member of staff is necessarily going to think that it's hilarious. But anyway,
so is your job to photograph what's happening in the parade in the drill?
It's actually to video it, not stills.
Oh, sorry, video. Is your job to video the what's it? Because do you just film the guy's face and watch his expressions?
Well, that's the thing. I don't know.
So if you film the drill and he's reacting, well, you can't film both.
Exactly.
So you've got a choice. You can show this guy's face go through all these strange expressions with no context.
Yeah, exactly, because I don't have two video cameras.
Or basically just a drill going wrong with nobody's reaction.
I know. This is why I'm very dubious about the whole thing, but anyway.
Can I just say one thing?
Yeah.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, thank you.
It just sounds like it's going to be so simple.
Well, I'm not being paid for it, so I'm not too concerned if it doesn't go to plan.
They're getting what paid for, aren't they?
That's exactly right. I mean, I've kind of been drafted as their unofficial official photographer. I'm happy to lend my talents to that when and if they need it, But then they've reached out and gone, oh, can you video this thing on Friday? Oh, okay, yeah, sure. David Attenborough and the BBC, it won't be.
I'm keen to hear next week, because next week will have to be our last recording.
Yes.
Before, because even though I'm still around the week after, my wife goes away for a week before I go away.
Right.
And I fly out before she gets home, so I'm going to be, a bit frantic getting stuff done the following week. So next week will be our last one. So we have to get somebody else on board for a few weeks.
Yep.
And I don't return till December 15.
Wow.
So we might need a Christmas show.
Yep.
Or a Festivus for the rest of us, for those who don't celebrate Christmas, show to cap off and talk about the trip and cap off the year, which would be so we can just think it ahead of time.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Yep. So have you got? I see you got a letter from Adobe here. They're trying to suck up to you.
And Adam also posted this to the Facebook wall. This was the email sent out by Adobe this week saying, "Dear Bruce Williams, thank you for being a valued Adobe customer."
Didn't get one. That's why I'm not a valued customer, obviously.
There you go. We wanted to share an important change to the tax you currently pay on your Adobe products and services. Ooh. Starting December 1, 2016, Adobe will begin to charge 10% GST on all goods and services to our customers in Australia. Your next bill on or after this date will reflect the new tax rate. Note that this change does not affect the base price of your Adobe products. If you have further questions, contact Adobe Customer Support.
Yeah, it doesn't affect the base price. It just affects what you're paying.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So instead of paying $10, you're paying $11.
Yeah. And if I recall, when they introduced the photocentric bundle to the American market, it was $9.99 a month.
Yes.
And when they rolled it out in Australia, it was $12.99 a month or $11.99 a month.
That was $9.99 from my memory.
Really?
Yeah. But remember, America has a completely different tax system than we have.
Yeah.
So that
they pay by the state. Yeah.
So you've got different rates in different states and all that sort of stuff. So they may have some states in the US where they have to pay tax on that $9.99.
Right.
And so I'm not saying they're not just that they may. Right. They may have some states where they don't pay that tax. But yeah, as far as I recall, I've only ever paid $9.99 for my Adobe. I don't recall paying more than that.
Oh, no. Mine's definitely more than that because I'm.
Mine, oh, that's because you're valued and I'm not.
Yeah. Well, mine was about 100. I thought it was 144 a year, which was $11.99 a month.
Yeah.
But I wondered whether the GST had already been included in that, but maybe it hasn't been. So anyway, like I said, I'm probably going to bail at the next anniversary anyway. And
because you've got the Black Ops, or whatever it's called.
That's it, Dark Table.
That's it, Dark Table, Black Ops.
So for those of you who are subscribers to Creative Cloud, you probably will have already received a similar email. The downside, of course, of paying by the month is that you're going to get hit with the new charge straight after the 1st of December at your next monthly anniversary, whereas if you are a annual subscriber like myself, you know, obviously don't get hit with that charge until your next 12-month
anniversary. So here's the thing, that can you then jump on now and buy up a 12-month anniversary, the 12-month subscription?
I suppose you could, but you would have to create a new account.
You could cancel your monthly subscription.
Well, I guess you could, yeah.
And then buy an annual subscription before the December 1st and save, okay, if it is $12, you're saving yourself $120.
Yeah.
No, save yourself $12 for the year.
Yeah.
It's not really worth the effort, really.
Not really, no. Nice try.
It's like two cups of coffee or something, you know?
Yeah. Now, the next thing that I've got on my list, you will get a good cackle out of this, Glenn. You've got to load up this link. This is how not to sell photo paper on eBay. Tell me what's wrong with this.
Well, straight up, it looks like it's out of date.
Why?
It's being facetious, dude. I'm trying to think of something other than the obvious.
Look at the paper.
I know. That's what I'm trying to look at, saying something other than the obvious, that the guy's taken the paper out of the light-proof bags to display the paper themselves inside. I would like to. I'd like to actually be able to open up the actual link, the actual eBay link.
I'm guessing the link has already died.
I'd like to read the description.
That would have been good.
Yeah, description maybe could be part of the fun, you know. See, yeah. I used to sell A4 paper plane making kits on eBay.
Nice. Yeah,
which is a single sheet of A4 paper. Yeah. Yeah, and sometimes I'd include the first fold for free. You know, fold it. Yeah, I sold one for $1.67.
Are you serious?
I'm serious, yeah. Plus postage. Plus $2 postage. eBay sort of banned all those kind of stupid things. I used to come up with all sorts of funny things like that. So this guy could be doing something. But this reminds me very much of a Australian government, not a stock take, but an inventory they did one year of one of the government photo labs back in the 80s. They were sending down all the accountants to do an audit of all the camera gear, enlargement gear. They went in the dark room and counted every sheet of paper. Yeah, of course, full lights blazing, and just a little issue with that. Yeah, very funny stuff. Very funny stuff.
Dear.
Now, paging Mr. Driftwood.
From David Marland, yes.
Paging Mr. Driftwood.
Yes. Yeah,
for those who know the reference to what I'm saying.
No, paging I don't.
It's a Marx Brothers.
Oh, okay.
Night at the Opera, but yeah.
Right.
That's only for us cultured folk who would understand that. Yes,
absolutely. Yeah. So this is a handmade wooden pinhole camera made from sun-dried driftwood. It looks very funky.
It does look funky, doesn't it?
I love the look of it.
Looks a little like some of the recent Hasselblads, actually.
Yeah. Oh, that's harsh.
It's true, though. A big block of ugly, yeah. This, surely we should be filing this in the case of just because we can doesn't mean you should.
Possibly.
It is kind of cool, but, you know, I don't know. It's fun, I guess. It's doing something with your craft, but I don't understand fun, so that's it's lost on me.
Well, clearly it's somebody who has a love of woodwork as well as a love of photography.
There you go. You're putting the two together.
That's it.
So a friend of mine, a guy I know, he's making handmade fishing reels out of wood, but not the ones that sort of manually wind the line around and cast out. But he's hand turning these beautiful wooden hand reels and stuff because he's got this love of woodwork and fishing, and he's bringing the two things together. So I can't see why it's not the same.
Yeah,
I suppose. Anyway,
fair enough.
What's this Lego camera you're talking about?
The next one from David is the workable Leica M3 shaped pinhole camera paper craft. Okay. Was that what you were talking about?
No. Well, the beginning of that was that there was that same article that mentioned Lego. It says where's it going to go? So we saw
on the Driftwood one.
On the Leica M3 shaped pinhole. But it says we saw impressive workable Lego camera. Then it goes, let's look at this other one. But keep clicking the Lego camera link. They've built a Lego camera to basically just around his iPhone. It's a Lego casing for your iPhone to make it look like a real camera. Because you can doesn't mean you should. Did we mention that?
I do love how there's the flip up gate to keep your iPhone inside the Lego housing.
The next lot, they've got a Lego 4x5 view camera. with including full pull-out bellows made out of Lego. I'll send that link as well because we've got to include that link to the podcast. It's very funny stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what's this? Is this just a paper camera Leica pinhole?
I don't know. I haven't had a chance to read it. The Leica M3-styled paper pinhole camera was created by Matthew Nicholson, a designer and photographer living in London. As we can see from the images, the paper craft features beautiful details originated from the classical Leica M3 rangefinder camera, and most importantly, it's not a piece of eye candy. You can take photos with the camera paper craft with loaded film. Matthew will release the template of the pinhole Leica camera paper craft soon, but if you can't wait, you might like to check out the inspiration of the project first, called the Dirkon. What is the Dirkon?
Oh, so this could take us down a very,
we're going through
very
down,
murky,
down a rabbit
very
hole,
murky path. If we sure are.
Anyway, we'll leave it at that.
Notice they haven't shown any sample photos taken with the Leica.
I did notice that.
So the Dirkon's just another paper camera.
Yeah.
Of which there's a few of them around, I'd have to think from memory.
So basically, it's all of the bodywork for a Leica M3 printed on paper and then cut and folded into the shape of a camera.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Fascinating waste of time. Yeah.
How do you hold it without crushing it?
Exactly. Well, you've got to put a driftwood housing around the outside.
Or maybe you print it on cardboard.
Yeah, it'd probably make more sense, wouldn't it?
It would.
Or put a Lego housing around it.
Yes, all that too.
So you bring all those things together.
Yeah.
What else we got there?
The next one from David is from Petapixel. This is Extreme DIY, how to make an old lens glow by scratching the glass elements.
Well, there goes one of my things for the night. Thanks, David.
Right. That sounds like a recipe for disaster.
I've been trying this for years by scratching my lenses, but I didn't know it was an intentional thing. Now I'm thinking, I've got a few lenses that are pretty darn banged up. I'm thinking, should I just get some steel wool pad out to scratch the front of it out completely? Yeah, it could be kind of worth a bit of fun.
Yeah, right. It looks like, what's he doing? Is he taking the whole lens apart?
Yeah, so he's got a special way of how you cut it open and...
Okay. Sorry, David, I've not had a chance to actually look at any of these links up front, so I'm completely in the dark.
But that darkroom paper, wish it was the same.
Yeah, exactly.
What did Tony White send us through?
Tony White posted this to the Facebook wall through the week. And this was the link that Tony posted had a YouTube video embedded. And when I tried to play it from that page, I got a message saying the original creator has prevented the clips from playing via other websites. Click here to watch it on YouTube. So the link I'll put in the show notes will be the YouTube link. And this is a guy doing a keynote speech for Adobe Max. And I have never met this guy, but interesting little side note, this is Jason Levine, who is the product ambassador for Adobe Audition, which is their multi-track audio editing software.
Right.
Which you may recall was how I ended up being approached by lynda.com to go and record training for Adobe Audition, because when they were looking for someone to record the video training for Audition 2, they contacted Adobe and said, can we get Jason Levine to record, you know, video training? And they said, no, he's too busy doing road tours for us, but you might want to check out this guy, Bruce Williams, in Sydney.
Wow.
Yeah.
So Adobe, you were famous at Adobe, dude.
I was. No,
you're like Jason Levine's number twos.
Thank you for that.
No?
No.
Okay.
But yes, I was for a brief moment in time known within the Adobe environment.
As Jason Levine's number two. Ah, dear. See, that could have been a big thing for you, that.
Well, it was for a while.
I mean, a big thing, not the, what it just fell down and, yeah, what it turned out to be, you know. Yeah, someone who'd rather use the dark force for rather than ponying up $12 a month.
Well, hey, look, I used Adobe Audition for years and years and years, and it was only when they made what I considered to be some very dodgy decisions that I jumped ship.
Yeah, I remember saying you weren't happy with it. I've got to say, for a keynote presentation from this Jason Levine guy, you know, he goes in minute 36. I mean, he's getting some decent coinage, I'm thinking, for a very short talk.
So the whole point of this particular link was, I can't remember what the original link described it as, but it was something like Adobe Keynote goes into hair metal. And it's worth watching because he ends up having the entire crowd singing.
In the minute 36?
Yes.
That's pretty good effort, isn't it?
Yes, and then he just goes completely off on this vocal solo that ends up getting him a good round of applause at the end. So,
there's a good link here on the side that would be interesting to you. That Weird Al Yankovic explains autotune. That could be a video worth watching.
Hey, that's interesting. I don't see that one.
Well, because it judges on your previous history, search history. Of
yeah,
course,
right. So.
Yeah, yours would be all like, and mine's all fun stuff.
Right. Yeah. Maybe.
Yours is videos on the reciprocity failure of analog tape versus digital tape in the metal-coated digital era tape. Of 1893 to 1937. Some rubbish like that. Yeah. How to quantify audio files. I'd love to hear you read out what your links actually are. that'd be a fair indictment on someone's personality.
Let me reopen the tab. The videos that are showing on the right hand side for me are Stephen tries to make sense of all of this. That's from The Late Show with Stephen Colbert. The next one is another Jason Levine link. The next one is Fast Workers, God Level 2.
There you go.
The next one is Tumbleweed Canyon with Dana Carvey.
Yep, that sounds like...
Things You Can Say About But Not Your Girlfriend, Full. Don't know what that is all about.
What have you been looking up, dude?
Arnold Schwarzenegger and James Corbin acting out Arnie's films in 6 minutes. New MacBook Pro can't walk and chew gum at the same time. that's just random.
It's
I think
a, it's, a, It's a scary thing when you start seeing what your search history brings
no,
up.
No, well, you see, some of that is because we have a smart TV which is logged into my account. And YouTube and Kath and Max watch YouTube on my account.
Of course it is. Backpedal. No. Yeah, mine stuff like Guns N' Roses, Story About Rocket Queen, Tim Minchin, Always the Germans, Weird Al Yankovic, Weird Lens Reviews, there we go, top 10 Greatest Live Musical Performances, Wonder Woman, the official trailer, hello. Retouch Me, my latest single just dropped and don't know where that one's. That's Jason Levine, that's him again.
There we go. Okay.
Oh, Meet the Most Evil Woman on the Planet, I'm So Angry, there we go.
Should we get back to your list?
No, this is good stuff. You know? It's Barcelona food tour. That sounds interesting. Right. We can look at my list.
I'm glad you think so.
Barcelona. Very fascinating. I don't know very much. Godo is my starting point.
Right.
It should be Godo.
Okay.
Instead of GoPro, because the lovely Karma drone we've been talking about the last few weeks.
Yeah.
Worldwide recall.
Why?
Apparently, it's been having some slight, moderate power dip whilst flying.
Whoops.
You know, like instead of being like 100% battery, it goes to zero and falls out of the sky.
Oh, seriously?
You know, it's somewhat of a, you know, you know, just a little issue.
Well,
maybe. So it became available on October 23rd. And they're recalling on November 9th. So that's almost that's 2.5 weeks.
At least it's not bursting into flames in midair.
And then falling on someone.
Yeah.
You know? It's not, it wasn't made by Samsung.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, so apparently it's a very small number of cases, apparently. They've lost power during operation. And no injuries or property damage have been related. And right. Even if you're using your GoPro Karma and it seems to be working fine, stop using it, which is pretty much what they said with the Samsung phones as well. So yeah, that's a bit of a bit of a hit.
So what are they doing? Are they doing a refund?
Apparently, it looks to be that it's they plan to resume shipment of the product as soon as the issue is resolved. That's assuming, of course. They can find what the
so
what it is.
Interestingly, it says in there replacement units are not being offered.
That's because they can't find what the fault is yet.
Yeah, right.
I'd imagine they've been able to isolate what the problem is, so
yep.
They're not going to be able to
hand out new units until they know.
Yeah, and you will return your product for a full refund. Yep, chink.
Wow.
If you purchased it from here, send it to here, and then think to put your email down if you would like to let know whether they're reselling them again, which isn't going to probably go down too well. I don't know how true this, I haven't looked, but their stock market share price is falling. I know they've been they've had lost some market share over the course of the year. They've had some. Yeah, removal of staff. I think something in the region of like 1,000 staff let go, or something like that, or 100 staff.
Right.
So I know it hasn't been all top of the pops for GoPro this year. So it's hopefully it's something that can weather through and keep on pushing forward.
Yeah, right. I just noticed the first comment. GoPro seems to still have a year of life left. Net income. AVI to common, I'm not sure what that means, down 337 million. Total cash on hand, 224 mil.
Yeah. So
they've got less than a year to go before they've run out of cash.
GoPro is better to just give all the cash to its workers for a Merry Christmas party and close the door after New Year.
Last one out, shut off the lights.
So it's and then other people saying, and so talking about the DJI Mavic, which we talked about, I think last week, the week before, and said that, they've had over 10 years of experience before they even started calling them drones.
Right.
And it's only, they've had now 10 or 12 years of experimentation before it even came out to the public as a public product to buy. So, compared to obviously GoPro, their first ever drone.
Yeah.
People saying, well, they sort of, you sort of expect it's going to have some issues because it's the first one.
Yep.
Versus DJI with many, many years of refinement.
Yeah.
So, so recall products, horrible reviews. If you mentioned the review from last week, a major layoff in staff in early 2016. This is somebody else's review, .com editor.
Yep.
Revenue projections missing, planned by miles and miles. Hero 5 is essentially a flop missing key features. New drone client can't fly level. Yeah, this is the company in deep, deep trouble, according to this guy. So was probably a fairly apt description.
Certainly seems that way.
Yeah, it's funny how something, if not saying it's going to happen, but if they were to go belly up, just what a meteoric rise and then fall.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be like Red Bull going out of business. Came from nowhere, as in absolutely everywhere, and then boom.
Yeah.
Hard to imagine. Then I came across something, something about dynamic. Something or other. I zoned out like the first paragraph, but I knew
that I'd love it.
You would like it. Oh, yeah. It's something about something to do with dynamic range or something.
Yeah. I'm always fascinated by that stuff.
So I know. So I've got a link for you. Apparently, there are two challenges the camera faces. Picking a tone curve that can include a... And the first, I can't even read this. This is 100% genuine. I cannot even read this.
You know what?
What?
I'm going to read it.
I know you will.
And while you're in Myanmar, I'll explain it to everybody.
So there's a couple episodes you can miss, folks. There you go. God. Just check, see who, before you listen to the episode, check who he's got on with him and what he's talking about. You know, see if you can skip to the next one. But they're talking about adaptive tone. See, I honestly can't even read this. I could skip like every 47th word or line or something. But yeah, adaptive tone curves. Tone flow diagram.
I'm going to have a read of that. It'll be interesting.
Noise sources, changes in exposure, amplification, and tone curve between the scene and the final image. Oh, God, you love that, dude. That's just... you're going to print it out, get it bronzed, and put it on your wall. just see it now. And said, the extreme DIY. The same thing about scratching the crap out of your lens. But the last thing I came across, because this is my last thing, which is a mind blower of a thing, is this astronomer, amateur photographer, but an astronomer, has, actually he wasn't an astronomer, he was a businessman who was into astronomy, but he quit and wanted to, he was 28 years old, he quit his job and decided he wanted to take this photograph of the Milky Way.
Right.
Okay. And he traveled 60,000 miles around the Western USA and South Africa to create the largest ever true color image of the stellar sphere.
Wow.
37,000 images as a first time astrophotographer, actually saying here. 37,000 images stitched together to make a 360 degree panorama of the night sky.
Wow.
And you've got to click on the link and go look at this thing and then zoom in like bejesus on all the stuff. It is just phenomenal.
I can imagine.
It is just a remarkable work of art.
37,000 images
to put this thing together. Yeah,
I can't even fathom how you would do that, because how much RAM would you need in a computer to?
Oh, at least 16.
Yeah, it's petabytes.
A remarkable, wow. A remarkable feat. So, and the image is astounding. I would love to put on one of these
VR helmets,
and look around, but ones that you can actually sort of think and zoom in. Can you imagine that?
Oh, wow.
Your brain able to zoom in on the images and stuff.
That would be awesome.
Would be quite cool. Yeah. So definitely definitely click on the link. Definitely open up the image. Definitely play around and zoom in on, because it is fabulous.
Wow.
It is such a cool thing. And the last thing, it's not actually on my list, but I came across this thing while I was looking for stuff to talk about tonight, called the Patch iPhone app.
Right.
Now, I don't know why it's called Patch.
You got a link for that?
It's supposed to... No. Mostly because I couldn't find the data. I read about it.
So what's it called? The Patch?
Patch. So I Googled on my phone, Patch, you know, App Store, Patch, and all this other stuff came, but not this damn thing. I eventually found it.
Is it a case?
It's basically an app that blurs out the backgrounds behind your subject.
Oh, okay.
To try and give you this faux minimal depth of field stuff.
Right.
It's really quite garbagey. Yeah, it's not for the few couple of little tests that I did. It's not doesn't do a very good job. But here's the thing: you invent this app called and you call it Patch, which has no relevance to the name of anything to do with what you're trying to do.
No,
and then you call it something that you can't even search that word on the App Store, and your product come up.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I said everything else came up, but this. Yeah,
wow. Patch.
Yeah, it was just so. I'm not even going to
marketing fail.
I'm not even going to give them the benefit of us talking about. give them a link.
Yeah.
But just think, if you guys are out there, and this goes to photographers all the time, a similar thing. Ask me, what should I call my photography business? I'm thinking of Beyond the Horizon Photography. What do you think? Or whatever, yeah.
Yeah.
No, if you're called Beyond the Horizon Photography, I just made that name up. I didn't mean to insult you. I say you're stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's the name of your photography business, Bruce?
Bruce Williams Photography.
Oh, I love that. You know why?
Because it's mine.
And if someone says, you've got to get the guy who did my wedding. He is awesome. Oh, who is he? Oh, his name's Bruce Williams.
Yeah.
What's his company name? Blah, 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 blah. InspirationalWeddingPhotographerGuy.com. No. Make it easy for people to find you if you want to sell something.
Yeah.
If you want to sell this patch app, you want people to make it easy to find. Yeah. Blurry background could be the name of your app.
Yeah, come up with a name that is absolutely unique.
Or because it's got to still have some relevance to what you do.
No, it doesn't. What's the biggest brand in the in the world right now? Well, not biggest, not biggest, but up Apple, there in search.
Apple,
Google.
Oh, Google.
Yeah, right? But this is Google means nothing. The very first time I heard it, I went, it's called what now?
It does mean something, doesn't it?
It does now.
It did then, though. So it was based on another word.
Yes, I know. It was like a theoretical huge number that was too big to express.
Yeah, mathematical number, yeah.
Yeah, right. So, but it was essentially it was a nonsense word at the time. Yeah. Now, you know, 15 years down the track, it has significant meaning to just about everybody on the, well, certainly everybody in the Western world.
Okay, so I'll take it back. Either make it really simple for people to find or get so freaking huge that everybody knows you.
Yes.
Don't do anything in the middle.
Right.
Or come up with a name that is completely descriptive of what your company does.
Yeah.
A la creative photo workshops.
Right.
What do? Well, we do workshops about creative photography. Yeah. Simple stuff, you know? Don't make it hard for people to find you. Yeah.
But certainly naming an app after a really common word like patch, that's not real smart.
It's not helping. And it has no real reference to what the app actually does or anything else. But it's like another friend of mine. She has a company, she calls the company Sugartown Photography.
Right.
Which is nice because she's from Sugartown in Pennsylvania.
Right.
But first thing I think of is, she only does stuff in Sugartown.
Yep.
Yeah. Or she's limited.
Yep.
Straight away, the potential of what she could do.
Yep.
She wouldn't come up to New York to do a wedding for $20,000 because she's Sugartown. Yeah. That's what she does down there. You know? Limiting stuff all the time. And that's I find this stuff so often. Yeah, you find, go look for this thing, and you're going to try and find it, and it's so damn hard to find.
Yeah.
So if you are out there in some sort of fledgling business, make it easy.
That's right.
That's my rant and my hobby horse for the night.
Excellent.
So that's it for me.
Excellent. Well, we should probably throw to David Marlin's book review then.
Is he back again?
He is. I have no idea what this is going to be like because
do you realize, David, people end the podcast now and just don't.
Oh, that's cruel.
Oh, no. It's only probably half true. Three and a half listeners turn off. They're the three and a half stay on.
I'm interested to hear what this is because the WAV file that he sent me is called Lid Lips.
Lid Lips.
Take it away, David.
Lid Lips is a very strange name. Stranger because it is the title of a book. It's actually short for Lessons I Didn't Learn in Photo School. It's a book by Syl Arena, and Syl's spelled S-Y-L. He spent many years in photo school, actually. He studied commercial photography, fine art photography. He's worked for papers, magazines, and catalogues. And he's also published on lighting, but more of that another time. This book, in some ways, resembles the Lesser Photographer I reviewed a little while ago. It's 100 of Sill's insights into photography. It's his insights on photography as an art, a philosophy, science, business, and lifestyle, as the front page says. Look, each page has got a nifty heading, some pithy text, and a question to provoke your thinking at the foot of it. Each entry is quite punchy, and here's a few examples. I rather like this one. You are not defined by your photo gear or your computer's operating system. Nikon versus Canon, Mac versus PC. Truth be told, none of this matters to anybody other than the people who sell this stuff. Nobody will look at your photographs and shout, "Yep, that guy's a Nikon shooter on a PC." It just shows. If you're a hardcore Nikonian or Canonista, loosen up. Trade cameras with a colleague and make some great photographs with another brand. Come to understand that your images are reflections of you as a human and not of the machines you use to create them. And the question at the bottom is, beyond gear and operating system, what other stereotypes are used to categorize photographers? There's another one I like here is, be open to your camera capturing realities you do not see. Sometimes we try too hard to make photographs. We juggle the rule of thirds, the inverse square law, the depth of field. We fret about focus and exposure. Rather than flow, we falter. Sometimes it's better to just push the shutter button. Push it and see what happens. Push it and discover that the camera sees a reality all of its own. Sometimes the camera's vision is empty. Sometimes its vision is enchanting. So there's a number of things along that line, and it's a good dipping book. It's a book to have a look at occasionally. I don't know that it's available in ebook form, but it, you know, as a softback, it's quite available. I'm going to finish off with the title of one of the other pages. A camera is not a license to be a jerk. Why is it that some photographers lose their sense of responsibility and compassion when they pick up a camera? How do bits of metal, plastic, and glass empower some shooters to discard their humanity and turn into overlords? After all, it's just a piece of machinery they're holding. I'll let you fill out yourself what you think the rest is, or go and buy the book. Booko.com.au. Thanks, Tony White, for that tip. List 16 suppliers of this from $18.64 to $40.99, dollars Australian. Now, one thing I found with Booko is that when the book first comes up, there's only very summary information. Click on the title next to the illustration and you get lots more options. In some cases where it's available at a library, which could be handy. There's a couple of columns of prices. There's the book price, plus there's the price with shipping. So it's well done. Thanks for that tip, Tony White. You're a legend. Cheers.
Excellent, David. Thank you very much for that. All right. Well, I guess that wraps it up.
No worries, mate. Take care of yourself.
You too. And we'll talk to you next week, and then you'll be gone for 3 weeks.
3. Yeah.
Yes.
Sure.
We'll catch you all later.
Take care. Bye, mate.
ShuttersincPodcast.com.
AnotherAudioToYou.com quality podcast.
For questions, comments, and feedback, email theboys@ShuttersincPodcast.com.